This is a sermon from Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. Thank you for joining us. Learn more at wdmcovenant.org.
Our first scripture reading this morning is from Ezekiel 37, verses 1 to 10. Please follow along as I read. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' Thus says the Lord God to these bones, 'I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and you will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude."
The scripture lesson continues the scene from Ezekiel, and it interprets this vision that happened during the first reading. "Then the Lord said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord your God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, Advent is this season of waiting for Christmas, this season of preparing for Christmas, and it's a season with all of its own weird, specific, special things that we do just because it's Advent. So there are things that we put up, and there are things that we do, and things that we sing, and there are things that we smell that smell like Advent. Aren't there things that we smell that smell like Advent? One of the things that Advent smells like at my house is decorations. And it's not that the decorations themselves are scented, but the decorations smell like storage and history, right? And now the aroma kind of goes away during the day when we're sort of up and around and moving around and doing all those things. But then at night, when sort of everything has settled back down, that aroma is still there. And it's not an aroma that is like meant to be pleasant, but there's something pleasant to it, actually, when I'm sitting there and sort of there's history in that smell. And there's history in the decorations themselves as well, too. And kind of increasingly, I'm finding that increasingly the decorations actually include little memorials, right? to people who are no longer with us, and sometimes to pets that are no longer with us. But we gather kind of around us again at the season of Advent and preparing for Christmas. And I'm going to guess that some of your decorations at home also include some of those memorials, some of those presences of people who are no longer with you, but are with you in a certain way during the season of Advent. And I bring that up for a couple of different reasons. One is that it connects to the scripture reading that we'll talk about in just a moment. But also, I just want to give you permission to allow Advent to be a little bit complicated. Advent is allowed to be a time with more than one feeling and more than one sense to it. Because, well, part of what Advent is for is to acknowledge the broken and complicated and grieving and hopeful world that Jesus was born into. Jesus was born into a complicated time to bring really kind of complicated good news to us. And so I think when we allow that complication to be there, we also make room for the joy that comes into the world with Christ's presence in this world. And so we carry that complication, we carry kind of the tension of that around, not just in our celebrations, sometimes we carry that complication around in our very own bodies as we move through the world during Advent. And I bring that all up not just to be morbid, although maybe sometimes I'm morbid. I bring that all up to offer also kind of a frame of reference for this scripture reading. This scripture reading has this vision of a valley that's filled with bones. And in case you missed what bones are like, the bones were very dry, right? And there's this image of this whole army that has been slain. There's been this awful defeat of the people that Ezekiel is prophesying to and for. And now, many of us don't really have a frame of reference for what that would be like, because in our culture, we don't really engage with death in our culture. We don't recognize the reality of death in our culture a lot of times. We confine death to happening in hospitals, and maybe we go to a funeral home after a death in order to acknowledge that this has taken place, and then we try to just put that aside and move on with our lives as best we can. And it's no wonder we don't grieve all that well in our culture. Now, I do also have to acknowledge those of you who do have kind of a frame of reference for death at the scale that Ezekiel's vision presents. I want to acknowledge those of you who have experienced that in some way, and I want to mourn with you. But I think we have to acknowledge in our day-to-day lives, we just don't have sort of the resources to grapple with what Ezekiel sees in this vision. Although maybe in Advent, we do. Because in Advent, in a lot of ways, our losses are actually more present to us. They're more present in a living kind of way to us. Because we may be getting ready for a holiday when someone's seat at the table is going to be empty. And sometimes we acknowledge their absence by literally leaving an empty seat there at the table to recognize the presence of those who are not with us in the ordinary way. We recognize that a seat at the table may be empty, but the traditions connected with that person are still very much alive to us. So maybe Advent is exactly the kind of season when we acknowledge the presence of those who are absent, the presence of those whom we have lost. That's where Ezekiel's vision begins. It begins with the presence of those who were lost. The prophet Ezekiel prophesied during the period of time after the people of Judah had been defeated in war, they had been taken into exile, and that work of exile was a tactic that was used in war in the ancient world in order to erase a people's future, to pull them up and uproot them and make it seem impossible that anything new could happen. And we have human realities that make it seem as if the future is impossible, that make it seem as if our lives from here on out have been somehow erased. We know the realities of death and illness and brokenness of body or of spirit that can seem to define our future in a way that it seems like our future doesn't even really exist, as if death and illness and brokenness could take the future away from us. But then we have Ezekiel's vision. We have Ezekiel's vision of a reality of a God who brings new life even when it seems like there can be no more life. A God who promises a future even when it seems like there couldn't possibly be a future for us. And we don't come to that future by denying the past, by denying what has been lost, but rather the Spirit of God can promise and bring us a future even in the presence of what we have lost, because that's what God does. That's the key point of this reading, that God promises to bring a new future to us even when it seems like there couldn't possibly be a new future. But did you notice that the Spirit doesn't act on any one of these bodies in this valley all by itself? The Spirit doesn't act on this one body and put it back together and fill it up with Spirit and send it off on its way, but rather the Spirit gathers all of these bodies together. Gathers together not a person, the Spirit gathers together a people and breathes new life into that people all at once, because that's how God does it. I think some of the ways that we struggle with, well, the idea of a future, some of the ways that we struggle with the ability of the future to continue even in the wake of death and loss, I think sometimes we struggle with that because we don't remember that we have each other, that we are surrounded by all of God's people. And when everything depends on me, when everything depends on what I can do, and everything depends on my ability to continue, well, I recognize that when it comes to me individually, it certainly seems like death and loss and brokenness have the final word. Because I will die, and I will be lost, and I am already broken in ways that tell me that this can't possibly depend all on me. But with God, it doesn't depend all on me, and it doesn't depend all on you in the singular, whichever one of you needs to hear that right now. It doesn't depend on you, it depends on God. It depends on the breath that God breathes into not just one of us and not just each of us, but the breath that God breathes into all of us, because God intends for us to be in relationship with each other. That's actually where this story in Ezekiel comes from. There are echoes of this other story in Ezekiel's vision. You might remember the story from way back in the book of Genesis when God planted a garden and God created a humanity and God breathed life into that humanity, and God recognized that we needed each other. We needed to be in relationship with each other, and we continue to need to be in relationship with each other. There is a later story that we don't get for a few more months, but it's a story that happens on the evening of the first Easter, when Jesus has been killed and has been raised again from the dead, and yet his followers don't recognize it. And so they've hidden themselves away and they've cut themselves off from the wider community. And in that place, Jesus arrives, appears in some strange way that the disciples can't quite put their fingers on at the moment, but he does something amazing. He breathes the Holy Spirit into them to create them anew. And God arrives among us to breathe the Spirit into us, to create the church anew when we gather together to celebrate the new life that is not just coming into the world in 22 days, but the new life that comes into the world in us, among us, through us, all around us, every day. So today's the first day of Advent, and our story on the first day of Advent connects us all the way back to the beginning and connects us all the way forward to all of the new beginnings that God promises to us and through us, that God will breathe the Spirit into us again, and God will breathe God's Spirit into the world again. But there is that one more thing. Like Ezekiel, we have to call on that Spirit. We have to invite that Spirit back into us. That's actually what Advent is really like. It's that time of breathing in the Spirit, breathing in what it is when God is present in the world. We invite the Spirit to fill us all over again. And we wait for that Spirit together, bound as the body of Christ. We wait for that Spirit with these special Advent practices that open our bodies to the breath of Christ in us. And so we smell those memories that bring tears to our eyes. And we hear that music that takes us backwards in time and forwards in time all at once. And we feel that contrast of the cold night air and the warm clothes wrapped around us. And we feel the pressure of that embrace that we may only feel one time every year. Those practices all come with an invitation. An invitation to let God's Spirit breathe within you, to let God's life soak into your bones, and to give thanks for the great life-giving mystery of Christ who is coming. Thanks be to God. Amen.